titled our message tonight, What's It All About? What's this time of the year all about? Well, at the end of the verse 17, this is what it's all about. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. We'll read the entire verse together. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer as we come to God's word for tonight. Heavenly Father, eternal God, as we would turn now to thy precious word, Lord, how we thank thee tonight that this is thy word. Lord, how we rejoice that we're not turning to the imaginations of any man. We're not turning to the thinkings of any created being. Lord, we thank thee that we're turning to the word of God, that word which is alive, that word which is living. And we pray, Lord, that this night, that the word of God will live in all of our hearts. We ask, O God, that you'll take the pages of Holy Scripture and apply them to all our hearts and lives by the Spirit of God. Lord, we pray that tonight you'll speak. Speak very clearly. Speak tonight with that voice that wakes the dead. Lord, we pray this night that you will call sinners to repentance. Lord, that this night sinners will be obedient to that heavenly calling. This night they'll come, leave their sin, and receive Jesus Christ. Answer prayer for us now. And Lord, help us in the closing moments of this meeting. Come, O God, we pray. Move amongst us. Tabernacle among us, we pray. Lord, defeat the devil. Lord, we pray again for the fresh cleansing and covering of the precious blood. Lord, may thy name be honored and glorified. This night we pray in the name of Christ. We ask these things. Amen. Amen. No doubt, like so many others, you're caught up in all the busyness and all the activities of this Christmas season. It certainly is a very busy time of the year, no matter how much you try to be organized and try to learn your lessons from the previous year, it just seems to be always busy. And as well as that, it seems that this season starts earlier every year. And you'll often hear people saying that Christmas, it seems to start earlier. It seems like the children are no sooner back to school in September. And you'll see in many shops people putting up their signs encouraging you to join their Christmas club. And then the decorations soon appear in the shops, the selection boxes, the tins of biscuits. All of these things start appearing. And we're lulled into the trap of commercialism. And we start thinking about Christmas long even before December. Of course, the whole reason for that is that it's this time of the year when many retailers will make a substantial amount of their profits. And they'll try to bring out the most and maximize the most that they can out of this season of the year to help their bank balances. And as a result of all this elongating of the Christmas spirit, many will say that Christmas is all about commercialism. Christmas is all about the purchasing of gifts for friends and family. Christmas is all about spending time with family and purchasing gifts and giving gifts. Of course, tonight we know that this season of the year, and indeed every season of the year, is not about commercialism. This season of the year tonight is all about Christ. What is it all about? Well, at the end of verse 17, I believe we have what this season of the year is all about. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. As the Lord Jesus Christ sat down with dinner here with the outcasts of society, he was rebuked by the religious leaders of his day for being associated with such low lives as they saw it. Yet in verse 17, the Lord rebukes his gainsayers and he restates the reason for which he came into this world. He reaffirms the glorious truth as to why he left heaven's splendor, why he became man, why he was born in Bethlehem, why he went to the cross. Therefore, in this message tonight, in the latter part of verse 17 in particular, this message that he delivered that day, this is what it's all about. This is what this season of the year is all about. And dear child of God, while of course it's nice to get caught up with all the hustle and bustle of the season of the year, let's never forget what it's all about. Let's never forget Christ coming into this world and why he came into this world. What is it all about? As we look at these verse here and these last few lines of verse 17, there are some thoughts that we want to consider as we think of this thought, what it's all about. What is the season of the year all about? First of all, I want you to see here that it centers on a person. This time of the year centers on a person. Now, I know there are many people in our minds at this time of the year, especially for the children and the big children as well. Many people come to mind as we think of this time of the year. It's a time of the year that we seek to spend with our friends, a time of the year we seek to spend with family, those who are important in our lives. However, the message of Christmas, the message of this season, it's centered on another person. One who is of more significance and of more importance than any other person. As we consider this point here, that it centers on a person, notice here his identity. His identity. He is identified in the opening words of verse 17 as Jesus. When Jesus heard it. And also then in the second half of the verse, that little pronoun there, I, referring back again to the Lord Jesus. Thus the central figure, not just at Christmas time, but at every time of the year, the one who is central in everything and ought to be central in everything is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we say again that we should not be so overcome with all the trappings and all the tinsel of this season. We get caught up in all the festivities and all the frivolity that we lose sight of the one who is central. The whole meaning of this Christmas time. Never forget that this is another time that we can remember Christ. That we can consider him and his coming into this world. His identity there, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a sweet name that is. The name of Jesus. Because there's not only his identity there, there's also his humanity. In the use of the word Jesus there in verse 17, we see how the Holy Spirit draws our attention to the humanity of Christ. Jesus is the earthly title given to our Savior. His birth in Bethlehem, in that lowly manger, was the beginning of his humanity. The stage, the beginning of his time of humiliation. Our shorter catechism that we learn in Sunday school and Bible classes said that Christ's humiliation consisteth in his being born, and that in a lowly condition. The birth of Christ, while it was a most wonderful event in the history of this world, yet it was also an event that was steeped in unparalleled humiliation for Christ. Over in Philippians chapter 2 in the verse 7 we read that Christ made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And that's a wonderful reality tonight as we consider his coming into this world, that the King of Glory was made man. Made in the likeness of man. The second person of the Godhead, the one who stood at the beginning of creation, spoke this world into its existence, should become one of us. As a child, he was born by the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, all to become as we are. You see, in order for Christ to be our Redeemer, in order for Christ to be our Savior, he had to take human flesh upon himself. In order for Christ to be the only mediator between God and man, then his humanity, his incarnation was essential. Folks, that's why we say tonight that this Christmas season, it's not just a lovely story that is told time and time again and in many places. His coming into this world, his being made flesh, his becoming as one of us is one of the wonders, one of the mysteries, one of the marvels of this whole time of the year. It was essential, it was necessary that he should become as one of us in order for him to represent us before God. In order for Christ to suffer in our nature, in order for Christ to experience the infirmities of his people, then he must become man. He must take upon himself the very essence of mankind, become as we are. And he took a real humanity. He really suffered. He really knew what it was to bear pain. It wasn't some sort of false humanity, it was a real humanity. And you know, the truth that Christ was made man should thrill the heart of the child of God. That he should send the darling of his bosom into this world, become man. Why? In order to bring us back to God. There is his humanity, his identity. But as well as that, there is his divinity. Because when the Lord left the majesty of heaven, he didn't leave aside his glory. He didn't cease to be God. He remained God. In his incarnation, he was still God, a very God. He is, he always will be, the divine, eternal member of the Godhead. He was there at the beginning of creation. He was before time. He was the one who had no beginning and no end. You see, the eternal existence of the divinity of Christ is something which our finite minds cannot grasp, but something which we receive and accept by faith. Thank God tonight for that dual personality of Christ. And we will never tire of telling people of Christ the God-man. God's gift to this world, he who was very God, yet he who became man in the incarnation. God-man. Why? In order to bring man to God. Paul writing to the church at Galatians 4:4-5, that verse that is often repeated at this time of the year. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. That's a wonder. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Because Christ, in becoming man, was made under the law. Subject to the law. Why? To redeem those that were under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. God sent his Son, the Savior of this world, to become man. Why? To redeem fallen man out of sin. Sinner, tonight, God sent his Son into this world to become man, to suffer, to agonize, to go to the cross of Calvary, to redeem you out of sin. This is not just some fancy story, some fluffy story that we seek to tell. This is the whole gamut of salvation. Christ becoming man. Never lose sight of the central figure this time of the year. Never forget this central figure in the whole account of the Christmas story. As we said this morning, what was it that the shepherds told others about? What was it or who was it that the shepherds went and spread abroad? It wasn't Mary. Wasn't Joseph. Wasn't the animals if there were any. Wasn't the manger. It was Christ. Christ. And he's the one tonight that you need, sinner. You're in this meeting tonight without Christ. It's not all the fancy things that we have around Christmas that you need. It's Christ, the one who came into this world to save you from your sin. This story, this whole account, this time of the year, it centers on a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior of sinners because he became man. Not only does it center on a person, but I want you to see as well here with me that it manifests a purpose. It manifests a purpose. We've already touched on this. We want to consider it a little more now. While we have focused on the one who is central, we move now to consider the reason, the purpose for which Christ came into the world. We see that declared for us there in verse 17. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. His purpose is expressed in a negative manner, as often the Lord would say, in order to bring out the positive. That Jesus Christ came into this world to call sinners to repentance. That was his purpose. That was his glorious reason that he left heaven, humbled himself, died on the cross to call sinners to himself. As we look at this call, the purpose for which he came into this world, let us notice some things about it. There is the intensity here of the call. That word call there in verse 17, it's a very intense word. It comes from a word which means to urge upon, to bid or to command. It implies to those to whom the call is issued, could not and of themselves do anything to call themselves. And how true that is in the gospel. We by nature are sinners so bound and welded to our sin, no thought after God, couldn't create one anxious thought toward God. But Christ comes and calls us. It shows to us the real depravity of the human heart that man cannot call himself to salvation. That's what many people believe today. You go out and speak to people about being saved, and they will tell you about what they can do, how they can save themselves, how they can merit salvation. No, the Lord came to call sinners such as we to repentance. The intensity of this call, but also there is the indispensability of this call. The old godly Bishop of Liverpool that we often quote, J.C. Ryle, he said that without the divine call, no one can be saved. It's not just some sort of emotion. People talk about having emotions and feelings. We're not saved by feelings, folks. We're saved by faith. Without that divine call, we can never be saved. That intense, indispensable call of the gospel to faith in Jesus Christ. And time again, the Lord Jesus Christ, throughout his earthly ministry, he called sinners to repentance, individually and collectively. A few verses back in Mark 2, in the verse 14, we see how that he calls unto Levi, follow me. Levi, like others, needed to hear the call of God. And as servants of God, we issue that call as well. We plead with sinners to be saved. And we must never be ashamed of it. Because Christ commanded us to go into the highways and the byways and to bid people to come. Go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, he said, and bring in the poor, bring in the maimed, call them to repentance. And you know, the Lord called many people Many times when he preached, and he had great congregations of people to whom he preached, the call was issued. Not everybody responded. The call was issued nonetheless. And we must issue the call as well. And tonight the call of the gospel goes out to you to leave your sin and to come to Christ. Tonight we call you to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. We're not ashamed to do that. We make no bones about it. There is as well then the intention of the call, because he did not merely call sinners, but he called them with an intention. What was it? That they would repent. I came not to call the righteous, he says, but sinners to repentance. That's not a popular word today. Sure it's not. Church of Jesus Christ is ashamed of this word repentance. Embarrassed by this word repentance. Why? Because it highlights our sin. We don't like to hear about sin today. But that's the whole reason of Christ coming into this world, to call sinners, as we'll see in a moment, to repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is leaving of sin and acknowledging of sin and turning to Christ. You see, there must be repentance for there to be regeneration. Sinner, tonight you're not saved by just trying to do a little better. To those in this meeting tonight who do not know Christ as your Savior, it's not just about coming to church week after week. Thank God for it. There are hundreds of people, and we see them every day. We drive up and down that Newton Ards Road, going to churches in order just to do a little better to save their souls. Make them feel a little better. Make them appease their conscience a little more. There needs to be repentance of sin. There needs to be an acknowledgement of sin. There needs to be a turning from sin. That is what Christ came to do, to call sinners to repentance. What did he say? Repent and believe. Repentance and faith go hand in hand. And as he has called you in the past, I would pray that you would not reject him any more. Oh, no doubt you are well aware that before God you are a sinner. You've been coming to this church for all these years. You know fine well that you're not right with God. You know we're coming up to another time, another end of another year. And yet here you are tonight still in your sin. Tonight God calls you to repentance, to leave your sin, be done with your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ. People hate to hear that word, repentance. But there are people tonight in a lost eternity would just love to hear it one more time. But it's too late. But here you are tonight. God has so spurred you. God has so lengthened your stays even to this time, that for one more time you might hear your need to repent and believe the gospel. As God calls you tonight, don't reject it. As God comes and deals with you and convicts you, don't rebel against it, but rather tonight come and bow your knee in repentance and receive Jesus Christ. It centers on a person. It manifests a purpose. But notice as well here that it specifies a people. Verse 17 lays before us the people for whom Christ came. Details for us the type of people to whom he came to call. Notice as we consider these people here, their designation. How are these people designated? Verse 17. Sinners. Sinners. That's not a pleasant way to describe anybody. But that's the way that we are. That's how we are. That's how we stand before a holy God because of our sinful nature. Maybe tonight you think you don't fall into that category. Or maybe you tonight think, well, you should meet the person I live beside. And wait till I tell you what about that person and what they did. Oh, they're sinners, all right. But I wouldn't really class myself as a sinner. I'm good living. That's the catchphrase of today, good living. But no, I'm not a sinner. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Are you deceiving yourself tonight? You thinking tonight you're all right, you don't really need all of this that you've been hearing about all these years. You don't really fall into this category here of sinners. Well, the Bible tells us you do. We've all sinned. I can put my name in that text. You can put your name in that text. We can all put our names into that text because we're all sinners. Sinners for whom Christ came to call to repentance and salvation. Christ came to call you. Christ came to save you. Just grab the immensity of that truth for a moment. Christ left heaven. Eternal God left heaven. Came into this world to call you to repentance. Oh, that that truth would so grip and captivate you tonight. That the Holy Spirit would so work in your heart and life tonight and realize that it was for you the Savior came. We who were controlled and stained by sin, we who were sinful in every aspect, the Bible tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. Yet it was for sinners such as we the Savior came. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to turn around a new leaf. He didn't wait for us to try to live a better life. In our sin He came. In our sin He died, that we might be redeemed. The hymn writer said how helpless and hopeless we sinners had been if He never had loved us till cleansed from our sin. Thank God that He commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And sinner, tonight you need to take the sinner's place and stand by faith at the cross and realize that no one but Christ can save your soul from sin. No one and nothing can make your life any better, that in spite of your sinfulness, in spite of your wretchedness, Christ can save you. That's their designation, but notice as well, their desperation. The Lord Himself describes sinners as being a desperate people. In verse 17, He describes them as being sick. Sick. Sin is a desperate infliction. It dominates man. It controls man. It destroys man. It wrecks lives. Finally, it damns man. Because sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death and damnation and separation from God for all eternity. You see, tonight, sin is no light matter. Sin is not to be trifled with. Sin is something to be terrified of. Society will offer many remedies to cure the sickness of sin. There are many, many services today that will try to make your life better. But only Christ can save your life. Sinner, you're sick in your sin. And you need the great physician, the one who came into this world to save you from your sin. That's why He came. Oh, if we were all right in ourselves, if we could save ourselves, or if we could do something to merit ourselves or to make us righteous before God of ourselves, then why did Christ come? If you could work your own way to heaven, if you could be saved by your own good works and your own good merits, if you could be saved just because of who you are and what you are, then why did Christ leave heaven? Why did he suffer such humiliation? Why did he die on the cross? Christ came, Christ died, because there was no other way your soul could be saved from sin. There was no other way that sinful man could be reconciled to a holy God but through Jesus Christ. You see, the glorious message of the gospel tonight is that for sin-sick souls, there is a cure. There is a cure. We're all cursed by the law. We've said it before. How do you get the cure from the curse? Take out the S. Take out the sin. And there's only one that can take away your sin, and it's Christ. He can cure your soul. Sinner, tonight, it's He that you need. It's Christ that you need to turn to. It's He alone who can save your soul and remove that stain of sin from you through the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. He can turn your life around. He can justify you tonight. He can make you just as if you had never sinned. Tonight he comes and he calls you to repentance. He calls you to be saved. And as we enjoy this time of the year, don't forget the true reason for the season. This time of the year, it centers on a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man that he might reconcile man to God. It's also a message which manifests a purpose. Why did Christ come? He came to call sinners to repentance. That call cannot be done without. No sinner can ever be saved without the call of God in your life. And tonight, God is calling you. Come, therefore, and be saved. And it specifies a people ruined by sin, a people sick of the disease of sin, a disease which only can be cured by the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in Him and His finished work. Tonight we point you to Him. Tonight, sinner, we tell you of Christ. As we said this morning, we have no other message but Christ. And tonight it's Him that you need. And in all of the entertaining that will go on, doubtless over these number of weeks, Remember the Lord when he said, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Sinner, tonight, are you going to repent of your sin? Are you going to leave your sin? Are you going to turn away from your sin tonight? Are you going to receive Jesus Christ? God has been calling. God has been speaking. God has been convicting. Tonight, heed the call. Tonight, come and be saved. Leave your sin. And make this Christmas season the best time of the year when you come and receive Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. I came not to call the righteous, he says, but sinners to repentance. Come. Come tonight. Repent of your sin. And receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's bow in prayer. And if God has been calling you tonight, and tonight you realize that, like never before, that you are a sinner and you stand in need of God's salvation, then don't leave this meeting without being saved. Don't leave this meeting tonight without giving your heart over to Jesus Christ. If we can help you, if you want to speak to us, we'd only be too glad to do that. But whatever you do tonight, don't leave this place without Jesus Christ. Don't be content having come and gone from the house of God for another week and think that'll be enough. And think that will merit you some favour with God. No. You need tonight to come, repent of your sin, and come to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray, O God, for that work of grace to be transacted in hearts and lives tonight. We pray, Lord, that this night that sinners will leave their sin. Lord, that by irresistible grace they'll be brought to Christ. Lord, do that which only thou canst do. Save, O God, we pray. Bring sinners to an end of themselves. Bring them to the cross. O God, we pray that tonight you'll save some sinner in this meeting. Take them off that broad way that leads to a lost eternity. And set their feet on that narrow way that leads to heaven, to home, to glory. Do this, we pray. Do it for thine honour and do it for thy glory. We ask this in the name of Christ and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. The hymn number 219 as we close.